Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Hey, and welcome back to the Forward Marketing Podcast. That's the number four, RD Marketing. You can catch us online at forwardmarketing.com/podcast, and there you'll find all the show notes for the previous episodes, including my favorite episode about growth marketing. You'll also find the most recent episodes in the last few weeks, including the business side of metrics, sort of we talk about sort of like some key metrics that every business owner should know. So it gets a little technical, but it's also something that every business owner should know. We also go into, in another episode, we went into the four keys that Netflix can teach business owners that maybe you haven't thought of. And all of these episodes, so from the growth hacking episode to now, are really good ones to go back and review, especially in light of our guest today. So we have an interview today. I'm very excited about that. So if it should be no surprise that if I got excited about growth hacking, that we would probably get some growth hackers to come on. And if you remember that episode about growth hacking essentially is sort of using things or seeing things in a way to grow the business that maybe it's like, so they're so focused on growth, but they also have this thought about using tools or technology in a way that maybe it wasn't intended to be used in order to grow the business. So, and often that means at a reduced cost overall. Like, it still costs money, especially if you're hiring a growth hacker, but it is just a different way to do it. And it also tends to be with some speed behind it. So I thought instead of me going on and on about another growth hacking episode, I would actually bring on a very experienced guest in this industry. And so this is going to be an interview with Mustafa El Bermawi. Mustafa is a seasoned software as a service or SaaS and e-commerce growth hacker. So he knows how to grow businesses that can scale very quickly. And over the last 9 years, Mustafa has helped brands such as American Express, P&G, and Ford refine their growth marketing strategies and tactics. And that is exactly the reason why he is on our episode today. I wanted to bring in kind of a heavy hitter in the growth hacking space. And he's also not just a sort of growth hacker consultant, but also a business owner. So after running a successful web development and SEO business similar to what we've got, out of college, he decided to mix his technical and analytical skills with a passion for the marketing. So he put it all together. And so he's a regular contributor for the BBC, and his writings appeared in publications, including Wired and Fortune. So this is amazing. And he currently lives in New York. And he shares with me, what's funny is I don't know if I was, if we mentioned or not, but he shares with me this, this desire of sort of breaking out of the New York lifestyle and sort of living a little bit more relaxed. And it's almost funny, like we almost wanted to trade places when we were talking outside of the interview. Like, I wanted to go into the busy lifestyle and of New York, and he wanted to come to the laid back one of Georgia. So anyway, this is one of my favorite, actually all the interviews are my favorite interviews, but this is definitely one of my favorite episodes, just being able to sort of network and talk to someone that hasn't just done small business, but has also helped companies like American Express and Ford and all that. So he's got a wealth of knowledge. So you would do well to listen to what Mustafa has to say. So without me rambling on, here is the interview.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here, Mustafa. Of course, we told the audience about it, and I used that keyword growth hacking, which if anyone's been listening the last few weeks, they know that I got real excited about explaining what that was to the audience in case there was any small business owners. They're like, they hear that word, it's a buzzword and all that, and they didn't know what it was. So I finally have on our show a real growth hacker. It's not just like me talking about it, but you actually, that's what you do every day. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and you know, how did you get started?
Basically started with back in college. I started running my own diff shop. I went to school. I was studying archaeology and history, and got into the whole internet thing and decided to learn, teach myself how to code. And then I started running a diff shop. And then more or less, you can say, a quarter-turned marketer. I started getting a lot of requests and business for mostly around marketing from small businesses and less around actually developing websites. Maybe this was kind of like my core strength back then. So this is how the whole thing started. I just focused more and more on marketing, and having the development and design background, and a little bit of analytical perspective and approach to marketing, kind of this has provided the recipe of being a growth hacker, as we kind of like describe that nowadays. It's really like a marketer that is has a background on understand the tools and web authoring and how the web actually works in terms of the actual coding dynamics of that. And then there's like the data analytics part, and of course the marketing component, and branding, messaging, and positioning and content. So like these three elements kind of makes someone more or less a growth hacker, and the rest is more or less a framework and what you're working on, regardless of the product. So in SaaS, you have to kind of connect it with the product, et cetera, et cetera.
I gotcha. No, that's a very similar story to how I got started as well. So that's interesting that you kind of make that connection. What in your gift store? What were you selling there?
My dip shop, you said?
Yeah.
Well, we started a restaurant business back then. It was mostly like building one website, and we build a site and promote it. So it was a full service. We build you a simple website, the same template that we kind of rolled out for each and every restaurant. And I'm talking here in 2009. This was like a cutting edge tech back then. So it was mostly like a WordPress template that I roll out for multiple restaurants and, services businesses. And then I started doing the SEO on top of that. And a little bit of Google Maps had just started back then. So I did some work on that. Yelp was also big. So we did some work on Yelp. So we basically developed the websites and help you promote your business and all of these mediums that were available back then. And we do that for a monthly fee of $100. So that was agency as a service, and we don't really charge you anything early on. It worked very well for us as an agency. It also worked well for the small business because there isn't much initial cost, but at the same time, you're seeing the results and you can really track the value, I guess, cost versus benefits. I'm paying $100 a month, but I'm also getting, 50 or 30 customers out of that. So it was no brainer for most people to join our program.
Nice. You kind of reminded me of, you and I were talking before we hit the record button about like the difference between small businesses and software as a service or SaaS companies, and I was saying that one of the things is that you can really scale a little easier, I think, with a SaaS company than you can like with a service business. And you just kind of mentioned something else, so that's also like that was kind of like the pro, right? That was pro SaaS. But if you, I think with based on what you just were saying, like almost seems like a little bit of a loss leader for a lot of these companies. Like you had to develop the tech, you had to develop the website and all that. And then you're charging $100 a month for, initially all your time and effort that you don't get back. I mean, is that, am I understanding that correctly? Like that's, for the listeners that are listening that have a business, I mean, that they don't get, sort of starry-eyed and see the grass is greener on the SaaS side, that there's a lot of sort of upfront work sort of for free before they ever reach profitability.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Josh, on this. You have a lot of initial costs, but then the runway or, the lifetime value of these customers, some of these customers stay for, and I'm talking here about SaaS, not just the agency. It depends on your product, but some customers stay longer than a year, so your lifetime value is X that you're taking per month multiplied by that year. So, and a lot of the time your initial cost is a lot higher than just 1 month subscription or two or three. So you need to think about it in the kind of like the long run, but also sometimes you need to factor in, take a loss early on to bring all of these customers, then upsell them on something else than they initially signed up to. So there's, having the customer loyalty and someone paying you monthly subscription fee and validation to that product is really powerful. And that kind of what started the whole SaaS movement in the space. And we see that Dropbox just did their IPO. So another big SaaS company going public.
Well, it's funny is that you, I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but a lot of the stuff that you're saying, talking about lifetime value of a customer, that's actually, if that's not the one that's been released last week, that was one of the episodes we just, it'll be probably this week of the recording, it'll actually be released where we talked about like the key terms that every business owner should know. And like lifetime value, whether you're a real estate agent, insurance agent, or whether you're a SaaS company, like you need to know what that's worth, because like you were just saying, like there may be a lot of effort and money spent on obtaining that customer. And then, you know, if you're not, if that if service isn't there, I guess that's where I was really going with that. But the service piece is such a big thing. And you and I were kind of talking again, like I said, before I hit record, maybe I should have recorded that, but saying that, you know, there's really, all businesses have the same problem. And the only reason why I'm repeating it is because, you know, I may have a listener right now who's like, ah, he's talking tech again, you know, and not realize that every business has to generate leads. Every business has to convert customers. Every business has to service those customers. And it doesn't matter whether it's a company like a Facebook or Dropbox or a real estate agent or, you know, even an Uber driver to some extent, that any of these people all have that same sort of challenge, if you will.
Absolutely. You're definitely right. Lifetime value is a key metric for to run really like any business efficiently. I would actually add to that a CAC or cost to acquire customers. It's like when you think about your lifetime value, you think how much it costs to acquire the customers that provide that lifetime value. So these two metrics is really like how I think about every single marketing campaign I run, how much I'm going to spend to acquire that customers and how much I'm going to get back.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like I said, that literally is the conversation I have in another episode. So thank you. So anyone's listening, it'll probably be an episode previous to this that you can go back and look at. I think it's called the key metrics that every business owner needs to know. But you just threw me a softball and you didn't know it. So I wanted us to spend a little bit of time there because you know, I was going to ask you some lead generation tactics. That's one of the main reasons people listen to the show. But I didn't want them to have this sort of, you know, bias if you were to say give us a highly technical lead generation tactic that they kind of would tune out and not realize that there's a lot of value in. Like I've heard stuff for like the Dropbox story is amazing. We did an episode about Netflix of all things, and like, oh wow, there's just so much to learn from these businesses, whether you're a service oriented business or a SaaS or you know any kind of business really. But what's one thing that and we may go through more than one, but what's one thing that our audience really could do to start generating business for themselves or they should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I have this one maybe like I would say high tech tactic in mind, but I also have the one that is low tech. So let's start with the low tech and then go to the high tech one. So the low tech one is basically optimizing your Google Spaces and Google My Business account to appear first on every relevant search term to your business. So if you're in real estate, if you are in, you know, garage door business, whatever the business is, make sure that you have the listing first of all, and then make sure that you optimize that listing with reviews, responding to reviews, having the right descriptions, having enough images, and making sure that your listing is answering the intent of the searchers. And it's just when he comes to it, he's like, this has all the questions that I may have to kind of get to that business, which is how Google algorithm decides whether this listing should go up before that listing or the other. So making sure that you have a great user experience on your listing is key to ranking first. And of course, the volume of reviews and many other factors kind of go into that. But at the end, with modern SEO, it's really about the user experience that you provide on that listing and having the most useful, thorough information on the listing. So I feel like that's the low-tech one, and I hope most of you listening are already doing it.
Right, and luckily we've got an episode where we talked about local SEO, and we kind of went over really like 101 basics, setting up, just going out, basically filling out the form, and then understanding what a NAF is, understanding what citations are on that. Do you have any specific tips around? So really like the way you worded that, you know, setting up your Google My Business page in a way that answers the user's intent. That was really good. Is there a way that maybe is a little bit more advanced, say someone's listened to that episode, that they can, I hate it when I see people using like emojis on their name. Like, that's not on your LLC. Don't use that. That's against terms of service. But is there some way that they could maybe get a little edge on their Google My Business page that maybe people haven't thought of?
I think the keyword gains are still valid nowadays, even though we know that usually Google it's really like there's a much human relevancy, and we're relying now on Google's AI to decide on who's going to get the first ranking. But keywords are still relevant, because keywords and tagging is how these machines work. So making sure that you have the proper and right keywords on your description, ideally even on your business. If your business is, let's say Josh and Mustafa real estate or rental services, like having the business name or that your primary keywords in the title still actually works. So making sure that you understand your primary keywords and injecting that primary keyword along the content, even in the image description, is something that still works. And that's I'm not saying here do a lot of keyword stuffing. I'm not saying do something that is going to impact the user experience. Again, user experience number one, and then SEO comes second to that. So I would say that now that you have this amazing user experience on your listing, you can inject some relevant keywords or secondary or primary keywords that you think your consumers will be searching for to find that business. So I feel like that's something that worked for me in the past, actually worked for me recently in one of my personal business listings, and I'm sure it will work for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that as well. And one thing I hadn't thought of that it sounded like what you were saying was even with the images that you upload, paying attention to what you name the image. Don't let it be, image underscore, 945B. Let it be, your business name plus a keyword.
Yeah. Let's say the name of the product, or if you are, a doctor, say this is a clinic office, just naming giving the details of what this is again, it's a good user experience, but also it catches a lot of the keywords.
That's great. So you have a high tech one for us. I've been anxious since we started. He said, before the show, guys, he told me he had a high tech. He said, we're going to get really nerdy on this one. And I said, I can't wait. So there'll at least be one person in the audience, myself, that is excited about this.
Yeah, this is high tech marketing and less of high tech code type of I would say it's strategy. And it's more around content. And I wish I came up with it. Someone else did come up with it. This is, and I'm sure your audience, some of their savvy ones already know it. I'm sure you know it, Josh, already. It's the skyscraper technique, but for small businesses. So taking the skyscraper technique is simply when someone, let's say, searched for the best hotels in New York City, where I am right now. So usually you're not going to get you're not going to get the W or Grand Hyatt or any big chain website going to come up to that. None of these websites will come. When you're searching for best, you're looking for a service that ranks multiple listings. So instead of positioning your website for saying best garage door services, instead of positioning your website as just the one garage door services, you can basically do a blog post where you list every single garage door service, including your competitors, and link to them while putting yourself number one. Google would definitely choose the piece that ranks, that has more thorough information. I know that there is conflict of interest here, and maybe the example is not the best, but you guys are getting the point, is that when you provide multiple listings, instead of just one, you have the most thorough, you answer the user intent, and at the same time, you basically, you're going to get the search volume because Google like that. So this is the first part. The second part, you're going to find other people that have already done this. When you probably have some competitors or website that did 10 best garage door services in New York City. So you can do 50 best instead of just 10. So this is why it's called skyscraper technique, where You find something, you make something better and longer and bigger than it. And that's was actually started by Brian Dean and been really, really successful for me and my clients, is that every time I see a piece of content, let's say I actually just did it on project management software for one of my clients, and if you search for, Microsoft Project Alternatives or Asana Alternatives, the number two or number one listing is going to be mine, just because I listed all of the alternatives that people search for, and not just 10 or 9. All of my competitors are listing 10 and 9. I'm doing 23, 25. So I have the longest piece of content and the most thorough at the same time. Does that make sense?
That's great. It makes it more shareable as well. People don't want to
exactly
be searching for anything. They want to, like, oh, wow, there's 23. Why would I look at the 10 when I've got 23 to go through? And
it has
all
for me.
And if they want to pretend like they did research for someone else, which one are they going to send? They're going to share this with people, you know, more so than they would where it's like one. Something you mentioned, this skyscraper technique, I think a lot of people, I'll talk to a lot of real estate agents because that was my former career, and they'll listen to something like this and go, oh, you know, that's not for me, you know, whatever. I would never want to list all my real estate agent, you know, competition. But one of the best blog posts I ever wrote was like the top neighborhoods in a certain area. And you could do the same thing on like an e-commerce store, the top products. And so you don't have to necessarily
use competitors.
You could just use your product list. You could use your knowledge base. You know, what's the best city to move to for a real estate agent? What's the best insurance product? And you could go through a best list in any business and say, what's the best this? And chances are really good people are searching for that. You know, what's the top this? What's the best this? And that's a great tactic. And I love one of the ones I had read on this tactic was that whatever number you use, make sure it's an odd number because it's more likely to be clicked on. So
yeah,
I don't know if
like
you've read that or not. But
yeah.
I don't know what it is about that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So we did an episode called the best blog titles, and that was where I did the research for that. I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Like, why would it makes no sense to me at all? Like, why would someone click on an odd number? But I guess it's true. So that's great. Do you have anything else for us? Maybe a little nugget that you were not thinking you were going to share, but you're like, you got it out of me, Josh. Is there anything else I can extract from you today?
No, I think this is it. The second one is requires a lot of work, but I suggest looking at categories, looking not directly at just competitors and what you do. Just start like crank out like 5, 6, 7 different blog posts with the same exact approach, and give it a month, and then come back and share the results with us.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's actually a great thing. The other thing you can do is, because you mentioned competitors, which you could totally do this. I think you can do it in a way that's honest. But the other thing you could do is ancillary businesses that send you referrals. So there's a lot of businesses out there that send referrals to one another, particularly in the service industry, like financial planners can send businesses to real estate agents and so forth. So you could look at that as well. So if you're struggling with some ideas, you can go on the show notes page at forwardmarketing.com/podcast, pull up this podcast and start making comments on there. And we'll, I'll come in and comment as well, help you brainstorm. Cause this is a great technique. And this is part of the, and I don't know if you heard our Future Proof Marketing podcast, but I really feel like these business owners can be a voice. I mean, you could put video along with this content. I mean, there could be all kinds of things that you do, with just this one tip. So
absolutely.
I kind of want to switch gears a little bit, Mustafa, and ask you, I told you before that this is one of my favorite questions. And this is, it comes from that idea of if you had that one lunch with that one person, what's the one question you might ask them? What's the one piece of wisdom that you could give someone? So what's the biggest mistake? That's usually where I've learned. Now, you could have a success that taught you a lot. But I find that in my life that when I just fail and I fail miserably, I learn so much from it. And so that's where this question is kind of coming from. But what's the biggest mistake? What's the biggest thing you've learned in your years of business?
Well, one of the, biggest mistakes, I would call it big mistake. I've done a lot of mistakes, where, to be good at what you do, you have to do a lot of mistakes. But this is a big one. I think 3-4 years ago, I had a chance to take a free complete course in data science by one of the best people here in New York City, and I didn't have the time to do it. It was, again, paid by my company, and it was free. It's one of the best people. There weren't many people that are good at this in that domain, especially in the marketing space, and I didn't take the course, and it's one of my biggest regrets. Now I have to use Udemy and all the other online learning tools and to kind of like, you know, brush up on the topic and learn more about predictive analytics and how that is impacting marketing as we know it. But now again, it's I'm paying for the mistake that I did 3-4 years ago where I could have been probably in a different place in learning about that. But again, it's never too late to learn, but I find this to be a big mistake because every time I have a chance to learn something, especially from the best people at it, I should definitely be taking that chance. And yeah, I see that as a big mistake.
Well, I mean, I could go both ways with you on this one and try to counsel you to make you feel better about it. But I think the reality of it is, right, anytime we, particularly we miss out on an opportunity to grow ourselves, particularly, that a lot of times we feel like we're too busy to do that, and yet I consistently see the top performers are the ones that are investing the most in themselves. And so I would agree with you that could be the lesson learned there. It's like, hey, there's an opportunity to learn. But maybe because of what you got for free, right, you would have gotten it for free. Maybe you appreciate what you're learning a little bit more now. And that's my consoling tip for you today. That's me helping you feel a little bit better about it. Yeah, so you can feel a little better about it. What's the biggest mistake that you think so your clients or other businesses that you talk to just in the marketplace, what's a big mistake that you see them making that you wish they didn't?
I see a lot of businesses like still up until even in 2018, a lot of businesses still try to manufacture links, especially in this full business space. If you are an SEO, and you know, a lot of them are like founders that just kind of like starting to learn more about SEO. And then they say, you know what, I'm gonna fool Google. And it's like, we've been trying to fool Google for the past like 15 years. Like, don't try. Just, you know, don't build links. Don't go and try to manufacture links. If you have a guest post or you're trying to publish something on someone else's blog and it's natural, if it's something that you would normally do, you should be doing. If it's not natural, don't try to do link building. And I'm sure for your audience who are SEO savvy would know what I'm talking about. For those who don't, link building is, and you know, getting referral links to your website is how Google determines your popularity on the internet, and it's an important factor, or the most important factor in ranking in SEO. So some businesses are still trying to do it nowadays, and I've seen a lot of small business come to me and say, "Oh, we have a big drop in traffic." I was like, "You've been penalized. Check out your Search Console. You have all these warnings."
Yeah.
You're getting into a link wheel, or you're doing like some, you know, spammy activities that you shouldn't be doing. So that's a big advice, and I know that I hope that most people are not doing it. But I was shocked to find like two clients in 2018 that I met with have had this issue. And again, I hope your listeners and audience don't really fall trap with that.
Well, I mean, it's an easy trap because it's, you know, go to Fiverr and there's a promise of you know, great, all these links, and you think that's going to be great. But the risk is, like, the reward is also great. If you've got, especially if you've got, like, an e-commerce store, it's like all of a sudden you get all this traffic. But when you get penalized, sometimes it just kills the whole domain, and you've got to start all over.
Painful. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I always like to close with sort of this opportunity for you that, let's say there's someone listening. Let's say there's the one person that can make a difference, like help you take the next step, whatever that is, or help you move closer to whatever your goal is. You know, what is that kind of person? Who is that person? If I could, you know, open up my Rolodex and make a phone call and connect you to them, I would love to do it. Tell me a little bit about what you're looking for. And then, like I said, tell us how we can find you.
Well, we're looking for early stage startups that are struggling with growth. We have I'm working on a 6-month hyper growth program where basically you work with us and we guarantee promise that we will grow your traffic and leads by percentage above 200%, so for early stage startups. And I know that we're not saying guarantee here as money for pay-per-play type of deal, but really we've worked some of the most popular and the sexiest VC-backed startups here in New York City with this program, and it's worked for them. And I'm sure that we're able to provide 500 and 600% increase in marketing qualified leads for them. We'll be able to do it for others as well. So this is like, you know, again, early stage startups in the SaaS business, you know, to come and maybe like we do some testing with this program with them. We're happy to do it. And for customers or for anyone that wants to connect with me, whether customer, potential customers or not, they can find me at Mostafa, M-O-S-T-A-F-A at Burma, B-E-R-M-A .co.com, C-O. So
and we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And if you have any, people have any questions, like we're always happy to help. Like this is something that we're, you know, I know early stage startups and small business, a lot of the time it's just some questions and how can I do this myself? I'm always happy to help with that as well. And someday you will grow and come and ask us to do it for you.
Nice. Is there a particular genre or niche of SaaS company or startup company that you just really knock it out of the park for?
Yeah. Again, I think most B2B SaaS companies, it's really like this is our specialty and we work a little bit with e-commerce companies, but in the SaaS space, we've had some tremendous success with Workzone, okay. with Harbor, and many other clients as well. And this is our area of expertise.
Nice. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was project management software or security. I've got a few people that are in the security industry that I know listen to the show that have
absolutely,
security.
Yeah.
SaaS, you know, so that's like that's the big thing right now. So,
B2B SaaS, where we guarantee that we're going to kill it.
Nice. I may actually have a referral for you then. Very good. So,
awesome, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today. And like I said, I was telling listeners, I will definitely be putting all of your show notes on the page. And like I said, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
Wow. What did you guys think of that? Mostafa is very, very humble in the way that he presented this information. As I mentioned in his bio, this guy has worked with American Express, with Ford. He's a contributor for BBC and just a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, when we talked about the lead generation stuff that he was going to bring to you today, he was asking me how technical do we want to get. And so, what I'm going to say to you guys is that if you want me to have him back, because now I think after this, we were friends. We literally talked for probably about an hour and a half and only recorded some of it. And so if you want me to have him back and you want me to go a little deeper, you're going to have to email me. So that means that you're going to have to go to forwardmarketing.com. And if you're not already a subscriber to our email list, you're going to have to subscribe. You can see that a lot of the techniques that I talk about, I may not even be putting onto my website. So you may have to actually enter your email address for me. And then you're going to, or you're going to email me at joshua@forwardmarketing.com and just ask, give me more Mostafa, and I will ask him to come back. He was very gracious to make the offer to say that he could come back because the techniques that he offered could require either a little bit more in-depth conversation, and I'll put some notes in the show notes where you can find the skyscraper technique that he mentioned, as well as a link to our old episode about the local SEO that he mentioned. But if you want him to come back and give a sort of more technical tip, then I would love to ask him back. But I only want to do it if you, the listener, want it. This episode, this whole podcast, if you notice, we don't sell anything on this podcast, at least yet. And it is for you. So this is all for you guys. If you're listening to this, then this is for you. So it is your time. If you get an episode that you do not like, then it's your fault for not emailing me and saying, hey, I want more of this. I want more of Mostafa, or I want more growth hacking, or I want more leadership, or I want more whatever. And that brings me to another point, is that we have an exciting episode coming up in the next few weeks with Dr. Rob McClelland, who is the host of the LeaderTribe.com podcast. So if you want to check out his podcast, go to LeaderTribe.com. It's leader, like I'm a leader, and then tribe.com. And what he does is a daily podcast on leadership tactics that you can get. It's called A Daily Dose of Growth, and it's pretty amazing. He goes over Harvard research of proven leadership tactics. And so we're going to have kind of a maybe either a dual podcast or just a simple one with him and I getting down and talking about leadership tactics for the small business and entrepreneurs. And when I say small business, some of our listeners have, you know, hundreds of employees. Some of them have two. Some of them are working for companies that are thousands of employees strong. And so you're very diverse. And the goal is to sort of break down that barrier that you would think that anything we talk about, even though I'm talking to small business owners, because a lot of my listeners came from LinkedIn, that even though I'm talking to that group, that you would see value in these different tactics. So, and certainly if you have a location, local SEO is very important. And if you have any interest at all in ranking on SEO, the best plus keyword skyscraper strategy is definitely a good one. So anyway, that concludes our episode for today. I thank you so much for listening. If we've added any ounce of any value at all to your life, would you mind going over to iTunes and give us a good rating and also share this with your friends? Again, if there's anything you want me to cover as far as marketing and growing your business, please email me at joshua@fordmarketing.com. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week.